The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in Richmond. Appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. And we are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in. This Christmas Eve show, Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Yeah, Merry Christmas Eve,
Merry Christmas. Oh, you've got the Santa hat on. Just noticed that.
Yeah, well, it's Christmas Eve. I can't remember the last time I worked on Christmas Eve. I don't know if I've ever worked on Christmas Eve. I usually have this week off.
I feel like I work it all the time.
Yeah.
I think that Drab behind the scenes, let's be real, you and EB are the divas, so he usually says, all right, these guys complain the most, we'll give them the time closest to Christmas, and then he puts Cakes and I on like the outside of Christmas, which usually sucks, because especially as we've gotten older, our kids have gotten older, and some of our kids have moved away, and so they visit during Christmas.
Yeah.
So the weeks that are outside of Christmas, like I had 2 weeks off in a row besides the holiday show, which was great, but it's like not even close to Christmas.
It's pretty nice to have back-to-back weeks off, though.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. And I know that you were supposed to have a week off, and then you moved it because you had just had your Thanksgiving wraparound.
Well, I had the Thanksgiving wraparound, and I had I basically had 2.5 weeks off because I saved all my vacay days to the holidays. And I was supposed to have the week where you and Cakes were supposed to do the show together. And I said, you know what? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Eric and Cakes. And I said, you know what? I was just off for 2.5 weeks. I might as well just work because I didn't want to just work a week and then take another week off. So I worked that week and pushed it until next week.
I just know behind the scenes.
It's kind of confusing.
Behind the scenes for Drab, it's probably a nightmare. So I usually just say, just whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, I'll take those weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it is. So we're running the two-man shows. I think Drabby's off today. We got Valdez, Mike Marr here. Are you guys all ready for Christmas? I don't know how many gifts you have to get.
Drabby's,
who do you have to get gifts for?
Drabby's off the rest of this week.
He's off the rest of the week.
And then when are you taking off? Aren't you taking
Me?
Some time off?
No.
You're not taking any time off for the holidays?
No.
Oh. Is that because
took a lot of golf trips.
Is that because you had 14 golf trips this year?
It was only two.
Oh.
And I mistimed everything.
Ah.
And then Drab had on the schedule that both of us wouldn't be in the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I said, we can't do that. Someone has to be in.
Right.
So I will be in the day after Christmas.
Are you set for Christmas? Like,
no.
Who do you have to buy gifts for?
I got to buy gifts for my parents, my brother, my sister-in-law, my niece and my nephew, and a couple other family members. But I'm pretty set.
So you've got it all done.
I got it all done. It's not hard. I just ask my brother like what kind of toys they're into,
right? Yeah.
And then I do that. And then it's all gift cards.
Do they get sized for Uncle Matt?
Not really.
Well, at least, today, at least today's like a Thursday. No. Today's like a Friday because we have off tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we have...
We're trying to follow your logic here.
Well, just because when you have the midweek off, it's almost like today's a Friday because you have tomorrow off. And then we come back on Thursday, and it's obviously Thursday. So it's,
and you're gearing
it's
up for the Falcons game.
It's a short week, you know, after Christmas.
You know what I do presence-wise, though, is... Because I tell my parents, if I really need something, I can buy it myself. And so I tell my parents, just don't get me anything. And then my mom feels bad that I don't have anything to open up on Christmas Day. So I like deliver stuff that I'm interested in to the house, and she can wrap it and then leave it there for me.
I did that this year for the first time. So I got... nose hair, ear hair trimmers. Okay.
Silly gift.
I can't remember where I was. And I was like, you know what? I could use these because I tend to be a plucker where if I get a couple creepers, I'll just pluck them right out. And I was like, well, let me just have that. And then I just brought it home, gave it to the wife and said, here you go. Here's a Christmas gift for me.
it's smart.
Well, there you go.
I happened to go to the mall yesterday with all my kids. So
oh, was it packed?
First of all, I just went to the food court. All right. My oldest wanted the new cell phone. She's 24, by the way. She wants the new cell phone. I said, okay, I'll do that for you for Christmas. Flip your old phone, get the new phone. But I don't need to go into the Apple store with her. So I just gave her my credit card and she went and did that. And I was just in the food court. But even like the line for Cava and the lines for like Chipotle, those places where you got to get in line. Oh my gosh, it was like 20 minutes.
Nobody's working today. There was nobody on the road this morning.
It was kind of awesome.
Happy Christmas Eve.
I mean, it's Christmas Eve. Nobody's working besides us.
Does the Bishop family hit church on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, we do. We do.
You should have seen his face. That on Monumental. That would have been great.
Well, we do the children's mass because it's the short one. It's like a half hour. So we go to the children's mass, starts at 3, and I get out of there at 3:25, get the car, roll up. My wife and daughters come out, and we're out.
So my little one goes to a Catholic school. She goes to St. Elizabeth's, second grader. And last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, they said, do you want your kid to participate in the mass? And she was kind of waffling back and forth, didn't want to like sing unless some of her friends were singing. But ultimately, she is. The mass is at 4 o'clock. We have to be there at 3:15.
Oh, that's brutal.
3:15.
And then it's an hour mass, probably.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too long. I don't get anything out of it, man. I'm just looking at my phone going, all right,
just checking your phone.
When are we getting out of here?
You don't pay attention to the gospel.
Not really, but it's a kid's mass, so they bring the kids up and it's fine. That's what I'm prepared for. And then we have a traditional Christmas Eve party at my house with my aunts and uncles come over, some of my cousins and their kids.
Hey, this is your
couple neighbors.
This is your second holiday party. Didn't you have a pre-Thanksgiving one too?
That was the big one though. That was we had 47 people at my house. This one's a lot smaller.
So what's this one, like 20?
Yeah, it'll be like 17 to 20. Not bad.
When you had the 47 people,
yeah.
Did you have like an Evite with an arrival time and an exit time?
No, we just sent
out. I noticed a couple on Saturday. My wife actually went to 4, but I went to a couple of Christmas parties.
Okay.
And one of them, it said 2 to 4.
Uh-huh.
And basically, like, right at 4 o'clock, people are starting to leave, which is always awkward. But I'm just wondering if, when you have 47 people, do you have the lingerers and you just want to be done with it and clean up?
We started at 2. This was the Saturday before Thanksgiving. So we started at 2. No, we didn't send an Evite. We just sent an email, like a family email. And we said, starts at 2. Usually people are out of there by 8. I think the last people probably left around 8. But there were a lot of young kids, like my second cousins. And we had 9 rugrats running around. So their parents wanted to get the hell out of there. So tonight
it won't be that full crew. It'll just be like 15 people.
It'll be a couple neighbors and my aunts and uncles who live in Virginia and my cousins who live. One lives in Arlington. The other one lives in Leesburg. And they have a couple young kids, too, so it won't be crazy.
Jason, but Mike Marr, you're the youngest sibling, right?
Yep.
Do you have to get gifts for your older sister? Is that weird?
No, I get. Because
you're like in your 20s, living your life, and they're all married and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
So I do shopping for my three older siblings, brother-in-law, parents, grandparents, and then a couple of my friends. And
that's
a lot. I just like doing the gift card bit. I mean, if you hit me up and you're like, "Hey, I want this specifically," or "I want like these few things," I'll get you that. If not, just
I used to be a silly gift giver. And then I would take a lot of time and effort, and I would really think about something that's a conversation about something you need. Or
right. You've done that on this show for years.
I've lost my zeal.
You tapped out.
I've tapped out. It's a lot. It's a lot to really try and zero down on something that somebody really wants. And especially, I'm very bitter because I'm so easy to buy for. You just get me golf balls.
Golf stuff, right. Yeah.
So I'm at the food court.
I don't ever ask for anything.
I'm at the food court with Dylan and Isabella waiting for Kelsey. And I asked Dylan, I was like, "Hey, do you need to buy any presents for anybody? I'll give you my card right now. You could," like, I was going to stay at the food court. I was like, "You run to Macy's, do whatever, you know, buy me some hoodie, you know, whatever. I'm easy." And he's like, "Nah, I'm just getting it all tomorrow. Gift cards." So he's doing the Mike Marr deal.
The Mike Marr.
I mean, it's just so easy.
And like, I guess you just go to Giant or Target, you get your gift cards, and you're done.
I think I would get kind of psyched to just get a bunch of gift cards, too. I mean, you know, then
gift
you go
cards
get whatever
are
you
great.
Want. Yeah, exactly.
You remember that gift that one of the listeners gave us on for the holiday show? I drew it. It was the Manscaped.
Yes. Yeah.
So I told my wife, I ain't using this. So I told her to look up how much it was. $100.
Oh, geez. You already put it on Facebook Marketplace.
So I told my wife, I put it on Facebook Marketplace for $75. And someone said, "I'm in." So someone's going to buy it for $75.
Why wouldn't you use it? You never
need
any sort of grooming?
Just use scissors.
Yeah, but that thing would be silly.
Yeah, I use scissors. I use little scissors.
That's diabolical.
No, it works.
I mean, like, it works. You give yourself a haircut down there. It works.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
I remember.
I don't need that Manscaped thing. I don't need that.
Yeah, but you can use that for like your underarms if you want. If you got a big old bush.
No, I use scissors.
Use scissors there. That's hard. I've tried scissors there. It's tough.
No, I use that. Scissors work.
And last year during the White Elephant present on the show, I drew the Manscaped. I think Valdez drew the Manscaped, and then I stole it from him. Now, that's probably one of the best presents I've gotten in a while.
I should have given it to you. Oh, you already have one, though. What were you going to ask me, Valdez? You're going to ask me something before.
Oh, you're the show weatherman. Oh. So is there going to be ice and sleet later today?
I think there's an advisory till about 1:00, at least out in my county. So I don't think it's going to be too bad. But I did not watch the weather yesterday at all. So I don't know the latest on that.
Because I'm leaving straight from here to go up to Pasadena, and I didn't know if the parkway was going to be a debacle.
Just check it by the hour, but I don't think it's going to be horrible. I did see all the trucks out. There was a bunch of trucks out on the toll road, but nothing was coming down. But
not gonna have a white Christmas.
Not gonna have white Christmas. By the way, back in the day when my grandparents were still around, they lived in Tacoma Park, and we would have Christmas Day at her house. Mm-hmm. And back then, everyone would buy everyone a gift. So my mother was one of 11 kids, a bunch of grandkids. So everyone would buy every aunt and uncle a gift, every cousin a gift. So you'd have to buy like 25 gifts. And then we started doing the white elephant thing. And now we don't even get together because there's too many people. And no house can really, besides mine, no house can really house all these people. So now people just do their own thing on Christmas Day.
What do you prefer?
I love that.
Especially now you have two football games on Christmas Day.
That's right. Right. Valdez will be all into that. What time is the Raven game? Is that 4:30?
4:00 or 4:30?
4:00.
That's the second game.
Yes, the second game.
Yeah.
Pretty happy.
Well, you'll be fine.
Do you have any Christmas traditions other than opening gifts? I was thinking about this. My family doesn't really, and I was thinking maybe we should implement, let's watch a Christmas movie together or something like that, but we don't.
We always watch A Christmas Story, or it's on in the background.
So everybody in the family sits down to watch it
together?
We'll
be hanging out watching A Christmas Story. And then
we do the same thing.
And then we play Christmas Bingo.
Oh, yeah?
that's usually pretty fun.
That's funny.
And then my mom has like tchotchkes. Like she'll have like candy if you win. Like you have to draw a number if you win. And then she comes out with like a candy. And then there's one like big $25 Amazon gift card that you hope that you win.
I mean, my wife makes like certain cinnamon rolls or something and all that stuff. But
do you get together with your brother on Christmas Day?
No. No, so we do Thanksgiving. I mean, it's been different since my mom passed, to be quite honest. A lot of the traditions have changed, but the last 3 years, we usually go up to New Jersey Thanksgiving. They stay up there. We'll do a New Year's party.
So it's just you.
Come over.
It's just you and Jess and the kids.
And then Jess's mom passed like 2 years ago. I'm not trying to beat Debbie Downer, but we used to do stuff with her. Like my family one day when my mom was around, then her family one day. I think we're going to go see her sister in Fredericksburg on, what is that, Thursday?
Right.
Day after Christmas?
Yeah.
But that'll be a stop and pop because both Jess and I are working on Thursday. Both of us are working
on Friday.
So just go over there for a little bit, exchange gifts with our nephews and her sister, and then bounce out.
Mike Moore, are you going to be
95?
Mike Moore, are you going to be in Ashburn tonight?
Yeah, I'm going back home for a little bit and then hitting St. Teresa Mass at 6 o'clock. And then I always do dinner with my family after that. And then tomorrow I'll be in your neck of the woods. I'll be in Broadlands at my aunt's house basically like all day with like my cousins and aunts, uncles and stuff.
Right.
I ought to hit this 3 or 30 minute children's mass or whatever at 3 o'clock because no one gets to the church earlier than my dad. So
he's the first to be there.
Not actually the first, but he is there really early and I'm going with him this year. So it's just, I should really pop into that 30 minute mass.
It's so sweet.
You get to hear a lot of songs when you're there early.
Yeah.
See, back in the day I played guitar and when I was in high school and I think maybe early college, I was part of the youth folk group at my church, St. Edward's in Bowie. And for a Christmas mass, usually the musical acts, they're performing like a half an hour all the way leading up to the mass. So you get all that.
It feels like bottomless songs on Christmas. Just constantly doing something. But, you know, it's okay. If that's what my family, you know, everyone's into it. So we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, everybody out there, be safe if you're driving around. Merry Christmas. Should we play I know that we'd had our holiday show. We played Christmas music. Should we play holiday music throughout the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to come back.
Santa hat back out.
Yeah. I requested it.
It is Christmas Eve, so when we come back, we'll have a whole bunch of holiday hits.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Very nice. All right, we're doing that throughout the show.
And by the way, we're taking calls, too. We're taking calls throughout the show today.
Yes, if you want to chime in.
It's Christmas Eve. Let us know your plans. What are you doing tonight?
800-636-1067 is the number. You can always text the fan on the Top Screen Windows text machine. Same number. Standard message and data charges may apply. And you can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. We've got Chris Caputo, who's the head basketball coach at George Washington. He's going to join us at 7:45. Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. We'll talk some NFL with him coming up at 8:20.
He's based in Atlanta.
No B-Rob. I actually, this morning, did all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, B-Rob, 9 o'clock, and then just found out no B-Rob today. So
I don't know if he canceled or if the Commanders canceled or what happened. But
His people sent an email.
Yeah.
He fumbled his appearance.
He ain't happy.
Oh, yes.
He didn't want to talk about it.
800-636-1067. It's Bish, JP hanging out, the Junkies. Keep it here. Welcome back, Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here on Christmas Eve. You know what I just realized? It just dawned on me because my wife farms this out to me. And when you have a little kid, you have to deal with this. You're out of this game. I'm going to have to put stuff together tonight.
Yes, you are.
There was one Christmas.
When she goes to sleep.
I think 2 or 3 years ago where we bought this kitchen set for Isabella. I think I was up till 3 a.m. putting that thing together. There were just so many pieces.
Yeah, we've done that.
Oh, and I know that there's boxes in our garage that I'm going to have to put together. One from Pottery Barn. It doesn't look that daunting, but that's going to be part of it. She'll go to sleep. And then I'll have to put everything together.
Because you'll be tired.
My wife sets it all up and makes like this whole like presentation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because my older kids are with their mom in the morning and then they come over. I don't know. I'll pick them up probably like 12. Actually, I don't need to pick them up anymore. Dylan's got a car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's game changer. He'll drive over around noon.
I kind of envy you because you still have a young daughter. Mm-hmm. So I wish my daughters were young again. But that part of it, I don't envy you.
There's pros and cons.
Yeah, there's definitely pros and cons.
I've had kids spaced out, so it's like every 6 years or 7 years I'm redoing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of great things about having a 7-year-old. but there's
great things.
Some things that are a pain in the neck.
I know. Like
and tonight,
you said, pros and
like
cons.
I said, the stuff that I'm going to have to put together because she still believes in Santa and set it up for Santa, you know, it's kind of a pain
How
in
old
the neck.
Is she? She's eight, right?
She'll be eight in March.
Eight.
Mm. Eight in March.
Well, this morning I was, by the way, I've been sleeping terrible. You guys always make fun of me and say I go to sleep at 6 and I sleep until 4. I don't. Okay. I probably sleep hard for about 3 hours. I bet you if we did a sleep study, I would get the worst grade of the four of us. Now, you might because you don't sleep a ton, but I sleep
fine when I'm sleeping generally.
I watched the first quarter of the game last night. It was, you know, I don't know why. Just
pretty competitive.
Terrible game. Saints have given up. I mean, a lot of teams have just given up. But
first round mock didn't have a victory lap because he had Spencer Rattler as his number one QB.
Yeah. No, he's
over Jaden Daniels.
He's a backup.
Over Caleb Williams.
He's a backup. But some teams have just given up, and that's one
yes.
of them. But I watched the first quarter, and then I fell asleep. And I probably fell asleep at, I don't know, close to 9. And then I woke up at 12. So I slept hard from 9 to 12. But I was up pretty much from 12 until I got out of bed at 4. I just don't sleep well from 12 or 1 until I have to get up.
That's brutal. Now, when I fall asleep,
I'm telling you, if we did a sleep study, I would fail it.
Are you waking up because of like a noise, or do you have to like pee in the middle of the night
I mean,
and then you can't go back to sleep?
Sometimes I gotta pee, but my body just wakes up and my mind just starts rolling and thinking about the day, and I can't get back to sleep.
I have a little theory on that.
Okay.
You also, in my opinion, are hopped up on a lot of sleep aids.
I mean, I just take melatonin. That's not a lot of sleep aids.
Okay, you've said before different concoctions, and for years and years you used to be an
ashwagandha.
NyQuil guy.
I take ashwagandha sometimes, which kind of just mellows you out, and then the melatonin puts you to sleep.
I think melatonin helps you fall asleep, but I don't know that it helps you sleep throughout the night. I can be dead wrong on that.
You might be right on that. Maybe that's the reason. But if I don't take melatonin, I'm telling you, I wouldn't fall asleep until 11. I would just be laying in the bed. My sleep cycle sucks. It's kind of depressing. Mike Marr, my sleep cycle is terrible.
You are dominated by sleep. I mean, here's the thing. We said this years and years ago, and we haven't been able to get away from this. When we started on the mornings on WHFS in 2002, the first week or two, we were just talking about waking up, how terrible it was sleep, because we were a nighttime show.
Mm-hmm.
And the nighttime show was kind of like living the frat life. We were doing appearances at midnight till 2 a.m.
Right.
I would sleep. This was before kids.
Yeah, we didn't have kids.
I would sleep till 11 a.m.
Yeah.
I'd wake up at 11.
Life was totally different.
You know, we didn't have the internet then. I'd read the newspaper to find out what happened, like, late night. But actually, late night, I was up.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, like, the 2 a.m. Sports Center
mm-hmm.
and then going to sleep.
I was the same way.
And we said, we got to quit talking about sleep. Our listeners don't care about us talking about sleep. And
yeah.
we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it dominates your life.
Well, of course. I mean, it's part of life. When you get up at 4 every day, I'm just telling you.
I was pounding the lozenges.
I'm having
last
a lot
night.
Of problems.
So I have developed, I mean, it's this time of year, some sort of a head cold. And my throat, it felt like knives in the back of my throat. And I was just pounding lozenges
mm-hmm.
last night, today. If it wasn't a two-man show, well, I might have called in.
Yeah. Well, the Packers did blow out the Saints last night. They beat them 34 zippy.
Are we getting into some junkie sports page here?
Sure.
All right. Let's open up the junkie sports page.
I'm not sure if there's a sponsor, but they clinch. No one's surprised that the Saints, you know, they got guys hurt. They're not playing into their starters for the most part. Rattler was 15 for 30, threw a pick, sacked a few times. Jordan Love threw a touchdown. They ran for almost 200 yards. Jacobs ran for a touchdown. So the first drive was they just went right down the field, and I think Love threw it to Wicks. And then New Orleans got the ball back. I don't know, four or five. I think they got one first down, punted, and then Green Bay went right down the field again, and Jacobs scored and was 14-0. The game over. So and
that
they ended up winning 34-0.
Is a bear. I mean, you've got the Lions at 13-2 and the Vikings at 13-2.
Yep.
You kind of put them in a class above the Packers, who are 11-4, but I was just looking at point differential.
Mm-hmm.
They've outscored teams by 126. Their point differential is actually greater than the Vikings.
Correct.
You don't get many shutouts in the NFL. I don't care if you're a team that's quitting. It doesn't happen often.
Mm-mm.
To shut a team down like that.
Yep, you're right. Even if they're playing backups. Usually the backups can still manage, you know, 7, 10, 13 points, whatever.
The Packers have.
Or 19 points like they did against
the. So they're 11-4. They've got the Vikings this week.
Got the Vikings in Minnesota.
And then they've got the Bears, who are, you're talking about teams who are laying down. They haven't won since the Hail Mary.
Right.
You upset the Vikings, it could be interesting for them. Now, the Lions would have to drop down.
Yeah, so right now.
But they still technically could win that division, I think.
Possibly. I don't know what the tiebreakers are within the the three-way. But I'd have to go back and look at that, because the Lions and Vikings have 13 wins. Packers have 11. So.
And, of course, Washington was rooting for Green Bay to lose,
mm-hmm.
because there's a chance, if Green Bay slides back, that Washington could get the sixth seed and avoid playing the Eagles.
Philadelphia.
Should the Eagles win the division, which we do expect.
Right. And they might be able to play the Rams or the Falcons or the Bucks. Now, they're still going to go on the road. So right now you've got five teams. Well, only four teams technically have clinched in the NFC, because Philly has already clinched. Haven't clinched the division yet. Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, like you said, they've already clinched. Obviously, the NFC South winner. Right now it's Atlanta. And Atlanta has the tiebreaker over Tampa because they swept them. So if Atlanta and Tampa both win out, then Atlanta wins the division. And then the winner of the NFC West gets in. And then, of course, Washington right now sits at that last wild card. So it's going to be interesting. Washington just needs one win or a Tampa loss to clinch.
Yes.
That's all they need. So Washington could lose this week, but if Tampa lost, I don't think they are. Tampa plays Carolina. I don't think they're going to lose at home when they have to win. But if Tampa did lose, then Washington would be in.
Well, Atlanta, of course, has the Commanders this week, and then they have Carolina, I believe.
Yeah, so
I know you give the edge to Tampa there, but Tampa's got to go 2-0. Yeah, I mean, they should. Panthers, Saints.
And Atlanta's got to go on the road, obviously, to Washington Sunday night, and then they got to play the Panthers at home. So I think Atlanta will drop the game this week. Do you like... I mean, we'll do this more of this on Friday, but
I
think
my early lean is the Commanders.
My early lean is Washington to beat Atlanta.
Although Penix looked all right.
You're right. I don't know what to expect there. We got to check on London's hamstring injury too.
Bijan.
Yep, you're right. They got a few weapons, but Drake London had to leave the game with a hamstring, so we got to check on that. Maybe we'll ask Jay Busby that later in the show. But I think that Washington will beat Atlanta, and I think Tampa will win out. So I think Tampa eventually will win the NFC South. And I think the Rams will win the NFC West. The only way Seattle can get in is if they win the division, and they do still play the Rams again.
Somebody tweeted this out this week. You can always hit us up at Junks Radio if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, is Jaden Daniels already the best quarterback in the NFC? I was like, man, it's debatable. Because when you look at the NFC, in terms of production this year, you got to throw Baker in there, but he's got a bunch of interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Baker has far more touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to throw Jared Goff in there.
Of course, yeah.
But same type of deal. Like, if you look at Jared Goff's numbers and Baker's numbers, I believe Goff has one more touchdown pass and one less interception. So they're basically having the same year statistically. All right, obviously, the Lions are the better team. But if you look at the NFC... where would you stack Jaden Daniels right now? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It's debatable. You might say he's the best quarterback in the NFC right now. Like other big names, Stafford.
Yep.
All right, but he's older. I mean, you can just go through the teams. Brock Purdy's kind of... you wouldn't put Brock Purdy ahead of Jaden Daniels at this point, especially after this year.
No.
He's kind of slid back. Dak Prescott's hurt. Right. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold's having a great year.
Sam Darnold's having a great year. So I think 800-636-1067. I think the guys that you would talk about, if you're going to debate, is Jaden Daniels, Goff, Baker, Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody stacks Jaden number one, I don't necessarily have a problem with
that. The thing that Jaden has, obviously, is the running ability.
Yeah, well, it's part of the game.
If you're just going to talk about throwing the ball, I'm going to put a couple of those other guys ahead of him just because of the numbers and they're veterans, but... the fact that Jaden can go out there and run for, you know, maybe he's going to get close to 900 yards this year. I could see why people would say that. But you just can't overlook guys who have thrown, you know, 33, 35 touchdowns. I mean, that's just a ton of touchdowns.
Right. If Baker, so Baker has 34 touchdowns.
Baker
passes.
Mayfield could throw 38 or 39 touchdowns. Even though he's got a ton of picks, you have to look at all the attempts. I mean, he's thrown 500 balls, 506. So I don't know if that leads the league, but it's probably pretty close.
So Baker's at 34 touchdown passes, 15 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Goff, 33 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. And then Darnold, 32 and 11. So similar numbers for those guys. If you look at the quarterback ratings, similar. QBR, Goff leads the way of those three at 66. QBR, I mean, Jaden pummels him.
It's got 72.
Jaden's fourth in the NFL in QBR.
Yep.
It's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, all AFC quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and then Jaden Daniels. In the traditional passer rating, which we grew up with, I think Jaden's ninth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's an interesting discussion. The Jaden could already be considered the top quarterback in the NFC.
Again, the running ability is a huge plus, and he hasn't turned the ball over like some of these other guys. But he's also not asked to throw the ball as much. So, you know, he did throw a couple picks this past week, and that second pick should have been a game clincher for the Eagles. The fact that the Eagles couldn't put the game away after that second interception, running it back to the 27, you know, that's on Philly. And then giving the ball back to Jaden, going right down the field and scoring the game winner. I can see why people would debate that, but I just think you can't overlook some of the other numbers that are being put up. You know, Goff, 33 touchdowns. He's probably going to throw 36, 37. Guys are going to throw almost 40 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive.
Right, but like you said, you can't ignore the running. James got six rushing touchdowns. He's
I know
for
what,
over 700 yards.
I know what Commanders fans are going to say. They'd rather have Jaden Daniels than anybody else in the NFC, and I can see why you'd say that right now.
Well, I think if you're starting a team, yeah, you'd want him over Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff. They're older.
Sure.
I mean, they're not old. But yeah.
Sure. Look, I'm a 49er fan. I'd like to have him in San Francisco. I would take him in a heartbeat.
I'm sure Kyle Shanahan would, too.
Well, of course he would.
800-636-1067.
And I'd rather have Terry McLaurin than Deebo Samuel.
There was a stat put out by the 33rd team, I believe, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The best passer rating to a wide receiver in the NFL is Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin.
Well, McLaurin's got, what,
you would
got
think
12,
that maybe,
12 touchdowns?
You would think maybe it would be Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase.
Goff to St. Brown.
Sam Darnold to
Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. The number one combo is Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin.
Because why?
Well, just the efficiency.
Okay.
I mean, just the percentage of balls that he throws that way are coming down with
that's
catches by Terry McLaurin.
That's kind of surprising to me because Ja'Marr Chase has 16 touchdowns.
All right, we'll come back, take some of your calls if you want to chime in. It's our second holiday show, a holiday show of sorts here on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Bish and JP hanging out, talking about Jaden Daniels. Where would you put him in the NFC? Is he already to number one? We'll take some of your calls next at 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. You're going to talk some GW basketball coming up at 7:45 with your boy Chris Caputo.
That's my homeboy. He's been begging me to come on the show for weeks, and they're off to 11-2 start. They don't start 8-10 ball until New Year's Eve. They play down at Richmond. So,
good dude. We've known him since he was in his 20s.
He's awesome.
Chris, when he was coaching under Jim Larinaga at GW.
Yep.
George Mason.
Mason, then he went down to Miami with him.
Yep.
And now he's back at GW. He's doing well, and we'll get him on to 7:40.
So we're talking about where Jaden Daniels fits in the NFC landscape. Let me just point out a couple things that would go in Jaden's favor. I just saw this via PFF.
Mm-hmm.
The highest graded quarterback in the NFL in the two-minute drill, J.D. Five. A 91 grade from PFF in the two-minute drill. He's excelled, obviously, late in games.
Yep.
He has, I think, four touchdowns late in fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
one was
a Hail Mary.
One was
kind of a Hail Mary, the one to Terry in the
McLaurin
Dallas game.
Dallas, right.
And then they missed the extra point.
Right. You brought up Jalen Hurts in the commercial break.
Yes, I actually put up a Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. And here's the thing. You can only fit so many characters in a poll. So I just have their passing numbers, but Who's the best quarterback in the NFC right now? JD5's got 22 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's just passing.
Mm-hmm.
He also has the 6 rushing. Goff's at 33-10. Baker, 34-15. And then I do think you got to throw Jalen Hurts in there.
Of course.
18 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. But he has a ton rushing.
Doesn't he have 14? Does he have 14 rushing touchdowns?
Let me double check. That sounds right.
Here's the other thing about that. I mean, can you imagine if Jaden Daniels had, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and that offensive line? Like, if you flip-flopped Jaden and put him with the Eagles and you put Jalen Hurts here, I don't think Hurts is putting up as many numbers as Jaden is here. That's just my opinion. Now, he's great inside the 1 yard line because of the tush push, but I'm not sure you could take advantage of that here with the offensive line like you can with Philadelphia, because their offensive line is so much better. And then you got Barkley. I mean, Barkley takes a lot of pressure off Hurts throwing the ball. So
yeah, so Hurts does have the 14 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a ton.
A total of 32 total touchdowns,
mm-hmm,
compared to Jaden Daniels, who has, 28 total touchdowns.
Yep.
So, these other guys do have more touchdowns overall when you put passing and rushing, but he's definitely in the conversation. Let's go to our pal Mo in Largo. Mo, Merry Christmas. What's going on?
Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Mo, what's up?
Before we get started, Jason,
yeah,
the fact that you are still using scissors in 24 is diabolical, my man. I mean, that's crazy, brother.
I never had a Manscaped tool, and I could get $75 for it. I said, sweetheart, go sell it. I'll just keep using the scissors.
Can't you imagine him like taking his fingers like he's a stylist and then flipping off the top?
Yeah, just like that.
It's hurt.
Pickles talked about it. He does the hack method too.
Yeah.
That is so hurting. But as far as the topic at hand, I definitely have Jaden top of the list. I mean, you made a great point there with production based upon talent around him. If you flip-flop him and Jalen,
mm-hmm,
you're exactly right. I don't believe the production is the same. And if you go around to the other teams within the NFC, look at the talent around these. I mean, they have all-pro wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, legitimate 1,000-yard rushers.
Yep.
I mean, offensive lines that are stacked bully clubs. I mean, it's not even close. So, and if you look at it, I mean, and not to mention, like you said, we won 4 games last year, and now we're at 10 and still moving forward. So, I mean, there isn't a quarterback that's more mobile. The accuracy is off the charts. And just his ability to have his players around him gravitate towards him, man. I mean, it's hard to place anyone above him. Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen, and have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
you
Mo.
Too, Mel.
Yeah, I do believe that's a factor, the fact that he's got McLaurin, and McLaurin's having a great year. But he's got a bunch of other bit players at receiver and tight end. If you put him on some of these other teams, his numbers would be drastically different. He might not have to run as much because he'd have so many more weapons either running the ball. I mean, look, Hurts has Saquon Barkley, who might break the NFL rushing record. I mean, he might break Eric Dickerson's record. He only needs 270 yards. I mean, he could do that in 2 weeks. But you can't overlook, other quarterbacks with some of these other teams. It's a good argument.
What's amazing about his rookie season right now is, and we're just talking passing, because we know he's an unbelievable runner.
Right.
That 4th-and-11 run, he's got nothing downfield, makes something happen, gets the first down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just passing numbers. First of all, he's completing 69.7% of his passes.
Yep.
So he's at a ridiculous clip completing the ball. That is 5th in the league.
Yep.
All right. And actually, it's higher than that because somehow Tommy DeVito's in this mix, so toss him out.
No, but you got to throw in the guys who
played
regularly.
You've got Tua, Jared Goff, Baker have higher completion percentages.
Yeah.
But he's top 4 there. All right, touchdowns, we're just talking passing, he's 10th. But he's taking care of the ball with the interceptions. Like I said, Baker's got 15 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say he's thrown the ball 100 more times.
Yep.
That's fair.
That's a factor.
And he's got 34 touchdown passes. He has those things where in QBR, he's top 5. In rating, he's top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw in the running. That's what you have with Jaden Daniels.
Agreed.
That's why that 4th down percentage is so good. The 3rd down percentage is so good. It's the Jaden factor.
And he's more elusive. Like you said, he's more elusive than any of those other quarterbacks. He's more elusive than Hurts. Hurts is a different type of runner because he's stronger down low. He's got those thick-ass legs. That's why they do the push, tush push. But he's not the overall elusive runner that, that
Daniels is. No, he's a power guy.
Yeah, right.
Let's go to Daniel in Annapolis. Daniel, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. First time, long time.
Merry Christmas, Daniel. What's up?
So I put him in number two, and a couple of really quick reasons. You know, some of it reminds you of RG3, and it's like he's got the best of RG3 without the worst. You know, he doesn't have deer in headlights. He's absolutely clutch. When he gets the ball, you almost feel like he's going to win it. But he walked into the season what was thought of as a terrible O-line. Mm-hmm. He's got one receiver in Zacchaeus who's been cut by four other teams. You know, you look at Baker, he only had 4,000 yards for the first time last year.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he's not a runner. But I put him in number two behind Goff. One you want to don't want to forget that Jordan Love's playing pretty well. You don't want to take him off the list.
True, true.
You know, Hurts has the best O-line, the best running back, and two, arguably, you know, one or 1A receivers. But Jaden just lifts the team, and he does it in a calm way. He's got all the RG3 flash, but he does it in a way where it's not athleticism, it's quarterbacking, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, here's a radio insider.
Yeah.
If you do a poll on X, you can only put four people there. So that's why Jordan Love's not in there. We threw Hurts in there. And Baker and Goff this year have really gaudy touchdown numbers. I mean, Goff is second in the league. He's fourth in the league in touchdowns. Burrow's one at 39.
Lamar's
got 37. And so then it's Baker three with 34 and then Goff with 33.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, if you flip-flopped situations, I mean, you want to talk about a loaded deck. The Lions are loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Amon-Ra, two really good running backs, good tight end. Got Ben Johnson as your offensive coordinator. Now, Cliff Kingsbury is making a case for himself that he's a great offensive coordinator as well. But all those teams have much better talent.
True. You could argue, though, JP, that it's harder if you're not as athletic as Daniels. It's harder to drop back that many times and actually throw the ball down the field against coverages and score that many touchdowns, as opposed to when Daniels doesn't see a guy and the pocket breaks down, he can just scoot left, right, and get 12, 15, 20 yards. So it's a little bit more difficult for guys like Goff and Mayfield and Love, who aren't runners, as opposed to Daniels, who can do that. Look, it's another weapon because he was born with it. He was born with that athleticism. The other thing about Love is he has done a really good job of avoiding sacks. I think he's only been sacked 11 times. Daniels has been sacked 38 times. Now, a lot of that goes to the offensive line, but Jordan Love has also been very good at getting rid of the ball when he's under pressure. So I think you have to factor that in, too.
800-636-1067. If you want to chime in, we're the Junkies. Coming right back.